Oh, wonderful.
Okay, ready? I would like to call the March 7th, 2019 meeting of the Energy and Environment Committee to order. And we're going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance, but then we're going to go into executive session for a brief interview that we need to do in executive session. So let's start with the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So I would like to entertain a motion. And our guest, please forgive us for a few minutes to go into executive session.
And would you make the motion so that other legislators could remain as well?
I'm sorry, Kathy.
Could you make the resolution include allowing other legislators to remain?
Yes.
Move by.
I'll move it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
And you just have to say what it's for.
She mentioned it was for interviews.
Yes.
So, goodness, stop the recording. Yes. The recorder's back on?
Yes.
You want to come out of executive session? Or
it is. We did that inside executives. We need to do that outside.
Yeah, you need to formally do it. So it's...
So moved.
Okay. And I guess you were all in favor of that,
yeah,
I assume.
Yes. So at this time, I know we have a lot of guests, and we'll try to move to the resolutions that you're here for, but I would like to take resolution number 121, establishing a solid waste planning commission pursuant to the charter. To review county plans for solid waste management and recommend alternative means of solid waste disposal. I'd like to take that out of order so that the chairperson can leave for an important other appointment.
I'll move it. Second. Okay. So this resolution went through Public Works. This is what I spoke about at the address to the legislature. And what I'm proposing is a commission made up of legislators and members of the RRA. I met with Tim Rose and the RRA chairman, Fred Wagnola, in advance of this and having a discussion about this proposal, and got the RRA's consent and buy-in from the front end. And then also met with Cornerstone at another meeting. Cornerstone is the engineering firm that they've hired to do the local solid waste management plan. And then went to the RRA board meeting where the board consented to this buy-in from the front end. I can say that the RRA, I know you all know this, but just for the record, the Ulster County RRA is the planning unit designated. So the local solid waste management plan is their, it's in their purview. They're required to do it. And part of what we talked about was the fact that the legislature, once the plan is drafted, it comes back to the legislature for approval. And also thinking even further out that any bonding over $500,000 has to come to the legislature for approval due to an amendment to our operating agreement. So, in large part, I was thinking that in relation to all that's gone on and the groundwork that's been laid on the GUS discussion, and the fact that the local solid waste management plan that was submitted in 2011 was at the DEC for 6.5 years before being returned, and then asked for comments on the return, and they asked for the comments to be back in a very short turnaround time, a couple of months. They got the extension, and now actually the whole plan is being rewritten. So the expectation to have everyone at one table is that the legislature would have input from the front end, which Cornerstone acknowledged would actually be a good thing. It could potentially speed up the process, because we'd be having a discussion at the beginning. And due to changes, Part 365 changes, this local solid waste management plan is going to, it's a plan, but it's also going to be a plan that we're required to look back at, two-year mark, to determine how we're moving along, and it's going to set the stage for where we go, the future of solid waste in Ulster County. So it's a different approach. I'm grateful to the RRA for agreeing to have a collaborative process from the outset. And if you look at the resolution, I submitted some changes that passed through Public Works, and those changes are that there will be three members appointed by the majority leader, three members appointed by the minority leader, three members from the RRA, recommended by the RRA, and of the three members, I wanted to make sure that a majority and minority member came from this committee, and a majority and minority member came from Public Works, and then the third would be up to the discretion of the majority and the minority leader. And then other than that, it just sets the timing for the committee, which can't last beyond the end of the year because that's our term, the legislature's term, and also stating that once this passes, the appointments would mean no less than 15 days because the work, Cornerstone's already been hired, so the work's begun. I also do want to say that I spoke with Mark Swerka from Cornerstone, with Tim Rose, who I'm assuming is here.
Yes.
And Mark asked if maybe it might even be this month that he would make a presentation to the legislature just talking about the concept of a local solid waste management plan and what that is exactly. So we'll determine the timing on that. But again, I think this is a real positive step forward in collaboration, and I'm really looking forward to moving this process along. So I hope I'll have your support, and then there'll be two members from this committee actually on the commission. But they'll all be open meetings as well. So.
So do I hear a motion for resolution?
No, not 471-2, yeah.
Oh, thank you. Resolution number 121, establishing a solid waste planning commission.
They moved it. They moved it and seconded it already.
Oh, yes, they did. Okay, I'm sorry. Is there any further discussion on this motion?
It was amended last night, so you don't have to amend it. You're just voting on.
You're just voting on the amended version.
Okay. Call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, the motion passes. And
and Tracy, you want to sign this before you go? So
yeah.
We put your... And then we can...
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is approval of the minutes, but we've held people up. If anybody wouldn't mind, I'd like to move the minutes to... after our guests have had a chance mm-hmm. to present and we resolve their issues and then come back to them. And the next one is a brief report from the UCRRA, next on the agenda.
Sure.
Yeah, please.
Brief report. Well, as Tracy had mentioned, we've been in discussions with Cornerstone Engineering to retain their services to help us write the solid waste management plan. Because it was a large undertaking, it's plan. So we look forward to working with Tracy and with the legislature right here in that room. Last week, I was with my peers, Albany. Speaking with lawmakers from both the Senate and in the Assembly in regard to the bottle bill, I, along with about 20 of my peers from around the state, had some issues with the way the bottle bill is written. I can get into that with you at any point if you're interested in what it is. But in a crux, they want to include the plastics, the Lipton tea bottles, and the Gatorades, which is going to take a tremendous amount of revenues away from a lot of the MRFs in the state, because right now the recycling markets are shot. I'm not getting anything for paper. I'm getting zero for paper, which is actually good. A lot of my peers are paying $5 a ton, $10 a ton to get rid of paper. So I'm having it hauled away for free. So that's not bad. So there, and we went from meeting to meeting to meeting, and it was back to back. We broke up into groups, and we met with different assemblies offices, and I just sort of looked at my schedule, which office I was supposed to be in at what time, and expressed our concerns on the loss of revenue. I realize there's an environmental component to that, and I'm not discounting that at all. There is an environmental component to why that's in there, but we said if you want to keep it the way it is, then we would like the state to reimburse the MRFs for the loss of revenue, because it's a 1-2 punch for us right now. Everybody's just struggling to keep afloat, barely. This is going to be a hit, hardship financially. We did ask them to put in glass, and I understand, you know, the liquor industry is a large lobbying organization, and there's wine and spirits that were taken out of the bill, and the wine and spirits, in our opinion, is extremely important to keep in here, because we don't want the glass in the MRFs, because if you're familiar with how a MRF works, by the time this glass is broken, goes through the process, there's a lot of bottle caps that are thrown in with it, a lot of shards of paper. The MRF glass is virtually useless, whereas if you take it to a redemption center, it stays pure, and it's pure form, and that's marketable. The glass I get from the towns is marketable. Okay, I can get rid of that. We get very little glass in our MRF right now, because everything is separated. But the little that we do get going into the MRF, I can't get rid of it. Neither can my peers. I know Onondaga County, which is a huge county, was talking about that with one of the senators and telling them, well, once it goes through the process, it's useless. It has to go in the landfill. If they make roads out of it, that's MRF glass. So you want to take the wines and spirits and keep it in its pure form, and then there's a market you can recycle that. So we're trying to explain that whole process to the lawmakers and how it affects us. Trying to think what else. Since the last meeting, everything has been pretty quiet, so I don't think I have a lot. I'll keep it really brief. I know you have a lot on your agenda tonight. There's a lot of other things going on in the recycling world, and I'd be more than happy if you guys are interested in giving me a call. I do send you periodic articles. You know, when I run across them, I think that this group would be interested in. I sent one today. I know on our meeting with the lawmakers last week. But, earth shouting. Does anybody have any questions for me at all?
I have a question. I don't remember which resolutions, but the question was about the solid waste tonnage, and I'm wondering how we can resolve a question about solid waste tonnage. Kathy, was that in Public Works?
It was in Public Works.
Laura brought up the question.
And is there a committee or, you know, some way that we can have the most accurate number?
Last year we did 131.
But it's not what you did. It's what the question is. What is the total solid waste tonnage for Ulster County? Is there a way we can get that number?
We have flow controls, so I can tell you the 131 includes all the MSW. It may not include all the C&D, but that's what we did. Now, if you're looking for, well, you have to tell me what you want.
What, Laura? What do you? I think the question is for Laura. What do you want included in the number?
What is reported to you countywide?
For what?
For it's the solid waste stream, which is what the RRA is responsible for. It is hazardous waste, it is construction material, it is recycling, it is yard waste, it is composting.
Well, yard waste, I would have no idea.
It gets reported to you.
Yard waste is, we don't have yard waste in this county, it's a rural county, so we don't get.
We report it to you from New Paltz.
From your town,
right?
But yard waste is, you know, we don't get all from landscapers. You know, the landscapers, we don't get.
So you don't ask other businesses what they're generating.
We can, but I, you know, you got to be careful that you're not double counting either. Mm-hmm. So if you can provide me with a list, I can try to find the rest. I'd be sure what we give on the DNC report, what we do. But those reports are only done every 2 years, so we didn't have to do one last year. But if you want those numbers.
We have to file ours every year with DEC.
Yeah, but there was solid.
The agency only has to file theirs every other year.
Right, and actually we didn't have to do one this year because we don't have a solid waste management plan. We went to file our report this year, and DEC said, "Don't bother filing it. You don't have a solid waste management plan." 2 years in accordance with your solid waste management plan, and because we don't have a solid waste management plan, they say you don't file a report. So I can't get them for you right away. This is going to take a lot of staff time to try to generate these numbers.
You sent the report, but I mean, Fawn's got them for the recycling oversight committee.
Yeah, but if you tell me what you want,
I can get those numbers together. All of the solid waste stream that the agency was established to manage.
But if you say
and
solid
waste recycling,
stream,
that is fly ash, that is every component of the solid waste stream.
So there's no confusion though.
So it's not just the garbage that you throw away in the landfill.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is, so there's no confusion. You tell me what parameters you want.
Okay.
And I'll give them to you. I'll do my best to try to put them together.
I mean, the solid waste stream is kind of a solid waste stream. I'm not sure what parameters. It's in the solid waste management plan that was written in 91.
Yeah, but that plan is defunct. The plan doesn't exist anymore. That plan expired 10 years ago.
So the agency is just responsible for doing garbage then. 130,000 tons a year of garbage.
Well, first of all, we generate about 130. I can get you the numbers that you want as long as you tell me what you want. Do you want, and this is an example, okay? You want junk cars. All right? There's some counties that count junk cars for scrap, and there's some counties that don't. And this is always discussed at the AEC, what you're going to count and what you're not going to count. So if you tell me if you want MSW, C&D, recycling, I can easily get for you. I can tell you what compost we generate. I can tell you that. I can tell you what brush we get in, so what brush the towns get in, but there's a lot of other places that brush is going. We live in a rural county, so everybody's throwing brush on the sides of the roads everywhere else. So,
Tim, I think what we're looking for is the total solid waste stream, and some of it you handle and some of it you don't. I think the details of this we probably should work out offline.
Yeah.
I just wanted to alert you that there was that question, and we want to get it resolved because it's a blank in a resolution that the legislature's dealing with.
I think maybe we talk about it's the one we just passed. I think maybe we reach out to the DEC, and if not, we reflect. If we can't get a solid number, we either follow Legislator Litt's suggestion and remove that whereas, or we keep that whereas and make it very specific to municipal solid waste versus total solid waste. We just change it to municipal solid waste.
We'll put in a very general number.
I think it just said solid waste, though.
Yeah, but it was 120 to 130, so I clearly was thinking MSW.
Yeah, so we can we'll
That's the only number that I knew, and that's what it was misdrafted. I'm sorry.
That number, that 130 number, is MSW and C&D.
Okay.
In our facility.
Because that resolution was sent. The recitals were sent to the RRA, and they signed off on. So the understanding, obviously, 130 applies to MSW and C&D. So that makes it easier.
We'll just make it accurate.
So, first, when you say solid waste, I don't think recycling.
What do you call the waste stream? What is called the waste stream then?
Again, I'm going to ask that we take this offline. I really just wanted to alert Tim so that we could start having this question. And it's my understanding from the whereas, the residents and businesses of Ulster County generate approximately, and then it's blank, tons of solid waste annually. That would include everything.
But we'll switch it to municipal solid waste.
So
that'll have to be amended on the floor.
And I want to thank you.
You can re-amend it here.
Report. I didn't want to sidetrack it. Is there anything else you want to add before we move on?
No, not unless there's any questions.
Before I leave, can you at least make that change here to municipal solid waste? You'll just, not right now, but at the end of the meeting, reconsider the resolution and put in the word municipal. And then if we have to change it again, we'll change it again, but at least
we can. Do we also add municipal solid waste destined for landfill?
Yeah, whatever you want.
Okay.
But just,
so
I'm saying if you can make
that
that's perfect. Yeah. Just if you could take it back up before the end of the meeting so that we don't have to do it on the floor to keep things clean on the
floor.
Then
what do we do with DPW? It passed as a different resolution.
Yeah.
I think you have to do
that.
That's what That's
no, I think you, have, you amended it, they can amend it, then it goes to the
yeah,
floor.
I thought yeah. It doesn't change the...
As long as the
really?
Sponsor agrees to the amendment.
Oh, we don't need a special meeting.
Or
we
had to.
Just before, like,
I think it's cleaner to do it on the floor.
Yeah.
Okay. And
I feel like
we can really resolve it by then, too.
Yeah,
okay.
It's just a whereas, so...
Well, why can't...
Yeah, you can amend it.
You could amend it right now.
Yeah.
Do it on the floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have no problem doing that, but I just want to make sure there's no confusion on...
It's just you already voted on it, but
yeah.
You can go back and reconsider
yeah.
It. That'd be a better way to do it.
Yeah. I'll bring it up at that
point. Yeah.
All right, so thank you very much.
You have a good day.
Thank you.
Take care.
The resolutions, the next resolution is resolution number 471, amending resolution number 318, dated September 15th, 2015, to conform to agreement of sale of county-owned real estate property in the town of Lloyd to the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation and authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to convey such a parcel, Department of Finance. And we should
second.
Motion and second. And by way of discussion, Legislator Litz and I and Attorney Gordon were at a meeting with the community members, and I think we have a record of that, you know, that
23rd.
On February 23rd, and do you want to comment on?
Well, first of all, I mean, I thought it was a good meeting. People were able to express their opinions. I was under the impression they were going to be invited tonight. Were they? Because they expressed an interest to be here.
We told them the meeting was going to be tonight.
Wow, I find that ironic because they were asking me and. I didn't think that what they told me is that I didn't think they got an invitation. So
we told them that the legislature was going to discuss it tonight at that meeting, and it's an open meeting. So
no.
If
okay.
I may, my sense is there was a good feeling at the meeting, and. I don't want to presume, but the fact that we don't have a lot of people with a lot of concerns, to me, seems to, unless you have some other sense of.
Well, no. Also, I got a call yesterday from the county attorney asking me to come to meet with them yesterday afternoon, which I did, to go over some of the issues that were brought up at that meeting. And they have some research to do because... they're not quite sure that the property lines are where they're supposed to be, and legally about the access to the property. So that was the last I heard as of yesterday afternoon.
Anybody from the county? Dennis, that's not your purview.
Thankfully.
Are you suggesting that we consider waiting again, or?
I think you should at least get the opinion of the county attorney. I know part of the issue is the boundaries on Mazzio and Ryan's deeds show that a point at which their properties go to, and then across that is what. DEC claims they have access by an old right-of-way or roadway. But there is court case that say once the macadam is removed on a non-dedicated, non-fee roadway, it reverts to the property owners. And that court case is actually on a piece of property on North Shattuck Lake Road. So that court determined, at least in that location, that it was not a dedicated road and it was not a fee purchased road, and that once the macadam is removed, it reverts back to the property owner and is no longer a public wayfare. Now, that question would have to be addressed legally because the road existed in up until 1929 as a way to get to Kingston. It was never paved. It was more of a path or dirt road. And the town ceased to use it or have access in 1929 because they ended the road where it is ended now. And at some later point in time, put a cul-de-sac in and paved it for the school buses to turn around. But there's a question now as to what used to be a thoroughfare. Is it now reverted back to the property owners, which the deed shows has a common point on their maps? And that's a legal question that really should be asked and answered, because you know, is there access to the property that the county owns, or is there not access to the property that the county owns, and is that access usable, or has it been reverted back to the original property owners? I don't know.
Hold on a second.
I want to. Do you see?
Do you mind if I?
What is
it? I guess. Listen, I totally respect that issue should be resolved, but I guess my thoughts are that really isn't relevant to the to your point here tonight. You've already agreed to sell this to the property. The county's entered into a contract to sell to the department, and I'm not trying to force your hand. I'm just reiterating what's already happened. We did ask, because the resolution that originally passed spoke to the county's ability to convey a quitclaim deed for the property, and we said that was not did not meet our needs. We asked for a bargain and sale deed, and that's the resolution before you, to agree to sell us at a bargain and sale deed. And I think the county attorney has weighed in that there's no real risk to the county to do that, and I think that was the recommendation, but I would let David speak to that.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to, you know, what Legislator Litz is saying is definitely well heard, I was much going to say the same thing to the like I said, he said, we've already agreed to sell, and so to this actual resolution that we're voting on, to me that would seem, if anything, more of an issue between the landowners and the DEC going forward, rather than an issue before us at this point in the process and the resolution before us.
Unless you want to defer to.
I'll say it and then he can correct me, but I think the time for the landowners to bring these concerns was either before the sale or after the sale, not during the sale. And bringing it during the sale, it's hard to address it because we're actually just doing the sale. And I think that the landowners are concerned that it'll be harder to deal with after the sale, and they may be right, but they didn't bring it before the sale. So we contracted with the DEC to make this transfer, and I think we should make this transfer, and then the landowners have to deal with the DEC.
Just to address that, there's been a dispute over this access that goes back decades, including a 1994 lawsuit. So this is well before.
And what did the lawsuit determine?
The lawsuit was never resolved. It never went the full way. I don't have a problem with selling the property, but I think it should be very clear whether it's with or without access, because the owner needs to know whether he has access or not, and I know of a court case whereby a person bought a piece of property with what he believed was with access, and then determined it wasn't with that. It was determined later on that it was landlocked and without access, and then it went to court, and there was the whole issue over misrepresentation. I think the county should know whether we're selling our piece of property with or without access, and if we don't know whether it is or isn't, sell it without access, and then then later on they can determine whether there's access or not.
And can I just respond to that? I'm really not trying to argue. We're willing to buy it as is, and then we'll sort out the access. We have an opinion on the access, but we'll work that out with the community, and we're committed to working with that community to try to find resolution here. And I thought we had expressed that at our meeting on Saturday. We're not asking you to convey something that you can't convey to us, in other words. We can only buy what you own.
There's actually two issues here that are being conflated, and I want to unconflate them. One is the issue of access per se, as access. Second is the issue of that legislative list is sort of alluded to, which is the property line. Let's talk about access first. There's a real concern, and that's the concern here, about the road and the status of the road. And as Legislator Nolan said, you know, this, and everybody's been saying this issue is out there, it's been raised. One of the things that happened at the meeting 2 weeks ago, and you know, DEC was there, was that the landowners were told and realized and acknowledged that the access issue is fundamentally not a county issue. We have this property, we want to convey the property, we're not doing anything with that. The real access issue is how DEC interprets it and how they're going to manage it. And at the meeting, DEC committed publicly that whatever decisions are made on access in the future will be open, that they're going to look at the issue anew publicly, that they're going to do an amendment to the management plan. And the landowners appeared to think that that was probably a good idea, and that kind of, without being anyway pejorative, it kind of got the county off the hook on that issue, and the meeting proceeded and was actually fairly cordial, so that the access issue can be managed in the future and we can go ahead and sell it without making any representations or any decisions on that. Now, Legislator Litz is immediately after the meeting, raised another issue with me, which is that he heard during the meeting an allusion to, and also by separate knowledge, that there had been a survey done by the landowners as to the property line, which, as it turns out, was related to access issues, as he's describing, but it's a property line issue. And that's something that, frankly, we do need to think about, because I think it was Legislator Nolan said, we're just conveying what we're conveying, but we got to be conveying the right piece of property. If we're conveying one thing, even though it's the exact deed that we got, but that's legally not what we really have anymore for whatever reason has been come through, we don't want to be conveying something that we don't have, because that's the sort of thing that gets everybody in trouble and makes the whole thing go bad real quickly, and we end up in court and bad things happen. And so after hearing this, I contacted the county attorney, who had no knowledge of this, and said, well, we're just conveying what we're conveying. I said, yeah, but there's a discussion out there that there's an argument and a survey that changes what we thought we had, so figure it out. And they spent the last couple of weeks, and every time I've talked to them, they're in the process of figuring it out. They pretty much have thought up until yesterday or so that, you know, we pretty much had what we thought we had, and they didn't really see any difference. But that could be, you know, I had a conversation with the assistant county attorney yesterday, and she's looking at this, and perhaps Herb had a conversation with him sooner. And the bottom line is, I would advise the committee that we should get to the bottom of the property line issue. If the property line has indeed been altered by some mechanism or some reversion or whatever, before we convey, because although we've agreed with DEC, it doesn't do any good to convey something we don't have, because we know we're going to get sued over it, and we don't want to do it anyway. And so my advice to the county attorney was, let's figure that out, and if we need to wait, frankly, my advice would be, if we need to wait another month to figure that out, that's probably worth it. And once we figure out what the property line is, then we just give it to DEC, and then let DEC work out the issue of access. That would be the way I would structure it for the committee.
I think Jonathan's
As a result of your conversation is why I got a call late yesterday
afternoon, and I was
coming down from Albany, so I said, okay, I'll stop by. She took out what information she had, which was the two deeds, and there was a conceptual map. I suggested she go to the county DPW, a drafting unit or whatever, or a county surveyor, to plot the description on the two deeds from the property owners. Acquired DEC had a survey done,
No, we have not surveyed this property.
You have not?
No.
That's strange, because the first meeting I went to, you had a surveyor there, and he said he did.
No, we don't have a... We have not surveyed this property, I can tell you.
Who was the guy sitting next to the lawyer in the meeting?
That was Seth McKee.
My colleague.
Yeah. Sina Cutson.
Oh, Sina Cutson.
Yeah.
I someone there said that they had surveyed the property. Maybe it was Sina Cutson.
I think
that
maybe you're referring to the properties that Sina Cutson owns.
And then there's a complex of properties in that corridor, as it would be called. It will be called the John Burroughs Buck Creek Corridor, which is owned by New York State. There's some other county parcels, the John Burroughs Sanctuary and Sina Cutson. So, the plan is, you know, to manage all of those collectively because of the resources that they represent. Other properties inside of that complex have been surveyed, but this property, to our knowledge, has not been surveyed.
And then I had the wrong impression, because you were sitting at this end of the table, the gentleman next to you,
yeah.
The lawyer was here, the gentleman that was sitting opposite me said that he was a surveyor and that the survey was done.
No, our surveyors didn't go to the meeting. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, if you had a survey map, that would help the county. But
we would eventually survey that property,
okay,
and we would sort this out. That's
yeah.
Our
so
job.
At very least, I suggested that they have the county surveyor or some engineer or whatever plot the maps to make sure that everything and then overlay them to make sure that all the lines made it.
Yeah, I just want to be clear. For me, the issue for the county is the property line. The issue of DEC can buy, this is very ecologically valuable land. DEC can buy land even if it doesn't have access. First of all, as we all know, unfortunately, they could condemn it if they had to. But secondly, more positively, they could buy open land to preserve. This is very, very valuable open land. I don't think that's all that would happen with it, but if that was all that would happen, that's not a county issue. We're still doing a good thing by transferring to DEC. So, but we need to be sure about the property lines, and that's in the county attorney's office. And I want, because of the issues that Legislator Litz has raised and the threat of other folks that disagree, I'd like to see the property lines nailed down, and that way, and then we give it to DEC, and then the property owners in DEC can meet on the management plan and go forward in that thing. But I'd like to see us make sure we're conveying the right parcel.
Legislator Hepner.
My understanding, though, is that we've already agreed to sell. We've already made an agreement on the current property, like how it is that we've already done this. So I don't get what we've already. I'm just confused because we've already made the agreement.
Yes, and if there's
so
a mistake in the contract, I think we should fix
but
it.
But then, if we backed out of the agreement, doesn't that open up? I'm trying to remember what the county attorney said, but opens us up from a lawsuit from the DEC.
Let's put
it
this way.
Not following through with the agreement to
let's suppose
pass this.
If the road is 30 feet wide, and by the mechanism that Herb described, the landowner is, let's say, got another 15 feet. if our agreement says we're conveying everything up to a particular line, it turns out we actually would be conveying 15 feet of the landowner's land. I'd rather run the risk of getting sued by DEC for lack of specific performance of 15 feet than getting sued by the landowners for conveying their land, because the bottom line is, given the state of the world, I would recommend to the board, even with respect to the contract, that we take time and figure it out, and then if we got, you know, plead to the court that there was a mistake made that we fixed, rather than being told that there's a possible error, go ahead with the conveyance anyway, and then face some landowners that are arguing that we conveyed their land. I'd like to see it solved first, but I hear your point. We've got the contract, but that doesn't mean you run headfirst into a buzzsaw.
I'm hearing all of this, and I just want to put this in context in terms of the county's auction process. The county goes through an auction process on a regular basis every year, and we take title to those lands, and we convey by quitclaim deed that whatever we think we took title to by quitclaim deed, we give to the other party. There is no discussion of where those property lines are, whether those deeds are accurate, et cetera, et cetera. It simply says that you didn't pay your taxes. We took the land that we thought that your deed told us you owned, and we sold it to somebody else. And we do this with hundreds and hundreds of properties on a regular basis, and we never get into a discussion with respect to where those property lines are, or whether we're conveying things that we may not own or may not. I think in many instances there's a sensitivity with respect to the site, but I think that sensitivity is with respect to the adjoining landowners and their and some of the issues with respect to the state ownership. I don't think it's a sensitivity in terms of the county's exposure to what it's conveying or not conveying, because it's routinely doing that on a regular basis every time we go to auction and every time we take title and every time we tell the judge we're taking title, and at the auction, at the end of the auction, we convey that to somebody else. We're conveying what we think we own or what we took title to. If we didn't have the title to those lands, we're not conveying that title. And in this instance, we have a seller. We have a buyer that says, we're willing to take what we've agreed to take by the contract you've given us, and we're conveying the deed that essentially describes the land. If that deed is wrong, it's not on the county's issue. They bought it, we're selling it, and they bought it knowing that there may or may not be problems with it. It's something that we do on a regular basis. What I would say to you is just think of it in that context and not worry too much about those minutia issues that are, I think, very important to the neighbors and very important going forward. But they're not very important with respect to the county's overall exposure reliability.
Well, I would just point out that before the meeting a couple of weeks ago, two of the attorneys from the county, one the county attorney and one the minority legislative attorney, sent memos warning us about having a meeting because basically saying that we were under threat of being sued, therefore we don't say anything. We kind of thought that we can handle this threat, and we had a relatively productive meeting. We kind of know now that if this land gets conveyed inappropriately, I mean, Dennis is correct, but they will sue DEC, they will sue us, and I mean, if we convey land that they're saying they have, rightly, wrongly, or otherwise, that will end us up in court, and that will mess things up. And the handwriting's on the wall.
Yeah. I was going to say something similar to what Dennis has said, and yet I think that the difference here is that this is a group that is concerned and has been concerned for years, if not decades. I was going to ask earlier, what is our plan for determining the boundaries of the parcel, if that's now the issue that we want to address? And if we're talking about having it surveyed, it's $800, I guess, to do that. And is that a wise $800 and several weeks to invest? That would be the first thing that the DEC would do probably upon receiving it. And if we get that information before we convey it, then we just change the contract. We've got, amicable parties. There's not a rush. I did not come to this meeting hoping we would be delayed another month on it. But if we have a plan, and I think the plan, my plan would be, let's go get a survey. Because I think if we do this, taking the deeds and overlapping and all that, that's not going to hold up.
It's in the county attorney's shop.
Yeah, I guess whatever they want to do. But that would be my recommendation.
Wouldn't the DEC ultimately need to get a survey anyway?
Yeah, sure. So, I don't mean to be flippant, but if you guys want to do the survey, that's great. That's something we don't have to do. But we would undertake the survey after we acquire the property. And if the adjoining landowners had a claim to some of that land that we thought we were acquiring, that would all sort out. We only are going to, as Dennis put it, we're only going to acquire what you
actually
have the ability to convey to us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my intention in asking was essentially, can you quickly do a survey and resolve this so that we all...
No.
They don't own it.
Yeah, we don't have the resources lined up to jump to this. I have a lot of other surveying priorities in the region. And we're actually very comfortable. If the county decides they'd rather keep this property and you conserve it instead of us, that's fine with us. I don't mean to force this on you.
I think the county attorney's very close to I don't know what your impression is, but I thought they were pretty close to making the decision. I haven't heard what it is yet, but I spoke to the assistant county attorney yesterday, and they were crunching it.
I'll just say, if we can give it one more month, that's fine. And let's hit the pause button, wait a month, see what the county attorney can resolve. But then I think it's time that we move and proceed with this. This is my view.
You can make a motion? Or do we need a motion?
It's been moved and seconded. You can vote on it.
Or postpone it.
If you want to postpone, you need to.
I'll make a motion to postpone for one more month and 1 month only.
Do I hear a second? I'm going to second that motion. Any further discussion? Okay, call the question.
On the motion to postpone.
On the motion to postpone. All in favor?
Do I really have to vote for my own motion?
Yes.
Or not.
I'm not in favor. I'm going to withdraw the motion.
You can withdraw
the motion. Yeah, I'm going to withdraw the motion.
All right, on the resolution. Any further discussion?
Okay. So you would do
it? Yeah, I mean, I'm really not thrilled about proposing a motion to postpone, but if it would resolve what David, some of his concerns, and if it still could meet with a timely sale, and I really don't want the county to be paying for a survey on this. I don't see the point in us putting that bill if we don't have to.
And if the county attorney is very close to it, by the time we vote, we should have an answer, right?
We do have some time before we take a final vote on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. Yeah, so we are voting on this. We don't know what the county attorney is going to. They could easily say, we're not surveying this. We don't need to survey this.
Yeah.
And then we delayed it another month for no reason, whereas we could vote on it tonight. We're voting just to move it to the floor. Right now, we're voting and move it to the floor.
Right.
We're not actually executing and sending it to the
donor.
So,
right.
And in the intervening time, the county attorney could wrap up whatever concerns they may have.
That would advise us one way or the other.
Then if it's resolved, then it'll be done.
And we could always send it back to committee if that's what the county attorney recommends.
I would say that, just to let you guys know, in my conversation with the county attorney during most of the period, they were very comfortable with their own property description, and it was only in the last couple of days I was saying, look, you know, Legislator Litz has some other, you know, I personally didn't have any knowledge of it, just what he told me. Talk to Herb, and then, you know, or talk to the attorney for the landowners, which they had already done, you know, and I don't know whether they've come up with anything more now. I just don't know where they're at, but I was particularly leaving it up to them to figure out whether the county had what they thought they had, and
not only can we send it back to committee, but also the county executive can choose not to sign it and veto it, and then start the process over. If it is in the executive's hand,
the DEC won't sue us for non-performance if that happens.
The thing is, though, that way we're not kicking the can down the road if we don't need to. But also, obviously, the decisions in the executive's office right now, if they want to, they have. One, they can come to us and ask us to send it back, to refer it back to the committee, or then they even have more time, further time than that, to veto the resolution. So, I mean, I think that seems like a more practical route forward than to keep delaying for the unknown.
Kind of leaves all our options open.
Yeah.
And there is no countervening survey that has been brought forth for us to examine.
I just read the last resolve that the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature is authorized and directed to make, execute, and deliver to DEC any and all documents required to transfer the parcel from the county to the DEC, including but not limited to land purchase agreement, a bargain and sale deed, and an affidavit of title. Said any and all documents to be reviewed and approved by the county attorney. That said, I still feel like we're kicking the can down the road. I would feel completely comfortable in voting for this if the parcel was clearly defined. If there's a question about what it is we're voting on, I would rather get that answer. Now, that's just one opinion. At this point, if there is no other discussion, we can call the question and see where it goes. All right. On the resolution 471, amending resolution number 318, I don't think I need to read the whole thing. Right. We all know what we're talking about. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay, I'm going to be one nay for clarity. And I want to say one other thing, and out of appreciation to Legislator Litz, who kindly drove myself and Attorney Gordon completely around that property so we could get a good understanding. And it is very different when you see it in person than what you think it is looking on a map. I completely support the transfer, but my vote was because I feel like we need clarity when we vote. And even if hundreds of others, we didn't have clarity, we needed to make a decision tonight, and we have, and then it'll go where it goes. And I thank everyone for their patience, and hopefully this will have a happy ending. Next on the agenda. Resolution number 18, confirming appointments to the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency.
It's worth it. I just want to say it's worth it. It's worth all of this. Thank you, everybody.
The property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should go. We should go through all of this in order to do this and do it right. I haven't patented it, but I have hiked there,
right, so
and I have a geocache down there.
I think the first thing that we should do is
we need a motion.
Yes, first a motion.
Second.
And I think the first thing we should do is fill the blanks. So do we have to amend just to fill the TBD?
That's who you're going to put in?
Yes.
So we just need to make a motion to add those names and which blanks they're going to add them to.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion to appoint Mr. Shabazz Jackson to the RRA term ending 12/31/2019, appointing Lisa Mitten to the RRA term ending 12/31/21, and appointing Frank Fauble to the RRA term ending 12/31/21.
Is there a second to that amendment?
Any discussion on the amendment? Call for a vote on the amendment. All in favor of adding the three people just stated to resolution number 18? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion is carried. And then on resolution number 18, as amended, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion is carried. Okay. Next. Authorizing the chair, are there any, no others, we have to move up. Authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Resource Recovery, the Ulster County Legislature to enter into an agreement with Ulster County Soil and Water Conservation District for the 2019 appropriation. Any discussion? First move. And do I hear a motion?
Second.
Any discussion on the appointment to Soil and Water Conservation District? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion is carried. Now this is, the next motion is appointing members to the Recycling Oversight Committee. And I know that we had asked, during the interviews, we asked each of the members, each of the people that were interviewed, if they would consider serving on the Recycling Oversight Committee. If we fill in those names tonight, we will be doing so with kind of what I would assess to be a casual affirmation. You know, we're not, because they didn't know whether they were going to be appointed to the RRE board or to the Recycling Oversight Committee, they were willing to do that as sort of a backup. And the Recycling Oversight Committee is a very important committee. It turns out that if we are to appoint the people who have not been appointed to the board, or, you know, the people that agreed to serve, and most people did, I think there was one person that did not. Joanne Myers is already on the Recycling Oversight Committee. Sarah Wink is willing to serve on it. Ryan Goodman was willing to serve. He's already on it. I'm sorry. Yes, I have. My notes are right, but my brain isn't. Frank Fogel has just been nominated. I don't want to say appointed, but nominated for the agency. Catherine Beinkaffner is willing to serve on the Recycling Oversight Committee. And then skipping down, Eileen Bonra is a hauler, and there's a vacancy. I don't know if how the committee feels about going ahead and filling in those blanks, acting on it, and then confirming, or do we want to... the meeting is scheduled for Monday, March 11th, so I expect that we could nominate people, and then if they refuse, we have a blank to a vacancy to fill. Because we have.
Well, I would just say if they wouldn't be members of the committee this coming Monday.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So I think the best thing to do is canvass them and confirm whether or not they wish to serve in this capacity, and we again include Eileen in that canvass, yeah. And explain in the canvas letter, maybe explain briefly when we meet, because if cases of like someone has concern about meeting in the evening, roughly when we meet, and maybe Laura, as chairman of that committee, would want to have some input in that canvassing letter.
But I
think it's only the right thing to do to canvass them before we put their name on a public topic.
Yeah, I agree.
Did Brian not want to?
I don't think that conversation's happened.
Actually, no, pretty sure. So you asked everybody.
You know, some of this was discussed in executive session, so I think I agree with Legislator Waltman and Legislator Hepner that we should invite these people to come to the meeting, and tell them that they are being considered, and then I don't think it's that urgent that...
I think it's more profitable.
Yeah. And so we don't need to call a special meeting for this. We'll just take it up next month. Is that the sense of the committee? So then,
so we have a motion.
The motion.
Wait, I just have a quick question. So, but if we wait another month, does that mean then they will miss two more meetings?
Well,
because they would have to be approved.
No, they'd miss one meeting. They won't. No matter what, they're not going to be appointed to this coming meeting.
To this one, but
yeah,
by the time
they would miss one.
By the time we have our next meeting and they're approved,
they would miss one meeting.
They would miss a second meeting, right?
Well, they could attend, but
they
wouldn't
would miss a second meeting.
They wouldn't be able to
one
vote.
Extra. They would miss the April.
Two total, one extra.
They would miss the April meeting.
So if they all agree to be appointed,
one
check with Vicki,
but there's no, they're not going to be appointed for the
month. Well, it's one extra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we would approve
do
the resolution as a TBA and then
amend.
Yeah,
a TBD and then amend on the floor?
To add the names.
Okay, and if we only have two yeses, we leave a blank and fill that one. Okay, so can right now is it TBA right now?
To be determined. It's what it is.
TBD.
Right now.
TBD.
Yes. So if you
yeah,
pass
we've done
it,
that before.
You can pass it tonight with it to be determined. I'll send them all an email tomorrow, and hopefully we'll find out by caucus night. We'll also invite them to go to the recycling oversight committee if they want to get a sense of it.
Yeah.
And let me know by Tuesday.
Great.
How's that sound?
Alright, so on the resolution 94 appointing members to the Recycling Oversight Committee, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion's carried. And last but not least, I'm sorry to keep you so long. I should have moved it up. You should have said.
I'm going
to
go for. This is four in a row, by the way. Four meetings in a row.
I am so sorry. You have to say to me, please move this up. Adopting and issuing a negative declaration under NYC, under 6 NYC RR Part 617, State Environmental Quality Review Act, CEQA, by the Ulster County Legislature for the construction of a public safety training facility in the town of Ulster. Capital Project Number 483, Department of Planning. Motion?
I move it.
Second.
Okay.
We need it. You're okay. I think I can answer. No, that's fine.
Any discussion on resolution number 98, for which Planner Doyle has very patiently waited all evening?
So
ask a
question. You don't have to,
trust me.
I won't be offended.
Okay, in that case, I'll call the question on resolution number 98.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion is carried.
I emailed you the.
Oh,
thanks.
Did you make any notes?
And
nope.
New business. Green Fleet Report 2018. I think that was
that was all of you. I didn't know if you wanted to discuss it, but it was in your email and it should be in your on the OneDrive.
But I would like, while Legislator Smith is here, on a very similar topic, we talk about the highway program. Do you want to just mention anything about that?
What's
since
that?
It, on the agenda was the Green Fleet Report, and related to that is the highway. Do you want to make a statement about that?
I wrote the letter today, edited it. It went to Tracy. She likes it. I forwarded it to all of the legislators if they would like to countersign. I think it's a very important issue. To take that much money away from the counties, towns, and villages, I think is ridiculous, especially when our infrastructure is crumbling around us. So,
very good.
I'd appreciate it if everyone would countersign.
Thank you.
And we need that right away because the budget needs to be passed by April 1st, and
I'd like to have the letter in Albany by Tuesday.
Okay, last but not least, is there any other new business? In terms of old business, the Climate Smart Committee, we had a very well-attended forum on refrigerant management since our last meeting, and I have copies of the PowerPoints, and it was videotaped, which is being edited, and the one thing we have to figure out is where to post things that the legislature, the Climate Smart Committee, and this website question came up earlier, and I think, you know, we have to figure out if we're going to be doing educational programs, and there's good information that should be somewhere on the website. I think we're going to have to resolve that, and I'll talk to Vicki about it and see if we can create a space for that.
Yes, because I want to try to see about the recycling event I want to plan in Saugerties. I want to see if that can be taped so that we can share it.
That's great.
Because not everybody wants to go spend a couple hours finding out, even though they want to know, or sometimes they can't.
And you can all put links to things on your personal legislative page.
Yeah, I think this should be, you know, for, in this case, came out of the Climate Smart Committee, so I think, you know, if we can figure out how to do that. Still hoping to, you mentioned the meeting in Saugerties, you want to do some training of chamber members, Climate Smart members, CAC members, to essentially implement the Green Business Challenge. Saugerties is raring to go, so we're planning a training, and we'll invite more people than that, but that will be kind of a next step. And I want to say one thing, just to go back for a second on refrigerant management. Just to be sure everybody understands that when the CFCs or Freon was banned under the Montreal Protocol, they were phased out, and a new set of chemicals or refrigerants under the category of HFCs, hydrofluorocarbons, are very potent greenhouse gases. So we have seen the ozone layer start to recover as a result of banning CFCs, but this other problem is considered to be a number one climate solution. And I thought, prior to this last presentation, I thought that that was more true on a global level than a local level, but I just, you know, we thought it was important to educate people on the problem of releasing refrigerants into the atmosphere, because some of them are 1,000 to 2,000 times greater greenhouse gas potential than carbon dioxide. So they're pretty serious. And I thought it was not a problem here, but at that event, it was reported that there are people in the community that are releasing, you know, and we're going, I don't want to, you know, point fingers, but there was information brought forward that people are actually intentionally releasing these refrigerants into the atmosphere, either thinking they have a permit or saying they have a permit to do so, and that there's a big push by NYSERDA to install air source heat pumps, which also have these refrigerants. So if we're switching over from fossil fuel-fueled, you know, gas or oil heating and cooling systems to these systems that include these refrigerants, that has to be handled very carefully, and there's some indication that not all the installers are adequately testing for leaks, etc. So this is a fairly serious issue, and unfortunately it's a local one, but it's good that we brought it forward so we can start addressing it.
I just wanted to go back for the Green Fleet. I meant to say, especially if people have just recently read the new report or are going to, I was in discussion, there was a comment made by Chairwoman Bartels that I think is a good one that we should consider as a committee, is, you know, how impressive the progress has been in our county's Green Fleet, and to the credit of, you know, Amanda and her department and the executive's office, and, you know, the prospect of, like, I mean, if you look at these areas, we've blown past, you know, the bars, where the bar was set in a lot of places. Do we want to consider and have discussions with Amanda and the executive's office? Do we maybe want to look at places where we can move the bar higher and move forward, where in places we've, you know, surpassed it so much? Just, you know, as a conversation, and maybe even get the, they might even have thoughts and ideas about it. But it's just, I mean, that we've seen the work we have done, maybe, like, just the prospects is exciting. So I think that's something that we were, while we have this newest report, keep in our minds for future discussions.
I think we could handle two issues by inviting Amanda to also come and talk about the amazing climate action plan that the county is developing. So maybe for the next meeting, we could ask her to be a guest. Mary, did you, I know you've been observing, we're about to adjourn. Is there anything you would like to say to the committee?
My name's Mary McNamara, and I wear a couple of different hats, but the hat that brought me here tonight is being the recycling, the organic recycling coordinator for the town of Saugerty since last August, and we only began having a compost drop-off at the transfer station in November 1st, but already it's been effective. It's been wonderful, and the superintendent of the transfer station is also the highway superintendent, so there's lots of overlap. I came tonight to learn more about legislation that's being proposed for expanding, encouraging that kind of removing, redirecting food waste, organic waste from the waste stream. The incentive to do this keeps growing and growing. Projects that are looking for places to place toxic incinerated ash from waste to energy in other counties. So my passion is water, and water is used for growing food. So putting water in landfills just seemed like a bad idea. So anyway, thank you for letting me speak a little bit. And Mary and I've been speaking about this, and other members, but I just wanted to get up to speed a little bit. So Saugerty's is growing. It's catching up. So it's very exciting to be able to participate in that. So thank you for your guidance as well.
And that's your transfer station as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and Woodstock,
right.
Woodstock
yeah.
is shares that with
yep.
the Saugerty's. Yes, it's an intermunicipal
yep.
transfer station.
Right.
And it's being expanded to
Furley. The curve,
and the Saugerty's composting will accept from anyone in the
that, is correct.
That brings it and the requisite fee.
Right.
Okay. Any other business? Motion to adjourn?
I move second.
Oh,
yeah. We had
8:05.